Well, we are waltzing right into Brewocracy now with Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow, co-host with me, Tim Quackenbush, every Thursday. This is your chance to submit your questions, even as we speak, to dj@kptz.org. If you have questions about Port Townsend in particular, because you are in the right place to have those questions answered. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Tim. Great to see you as always.
Good to see you. John, you know, I have to say, I've been out of town. I've been up in the North Cascades.
Ooh.
So my mind has been a long way from sewer projects and dark sky projects and paper mill negotiations. You, on the other end, well, I'm hoping that you have had a chance to enjoy this wonderful weather, but I'm guessing that you haven't been as quite far away from it as I have.
Well, I mean, in some ways, maybe true, but, you know, just like everyone, I'm human and can't just keep going 24 hours every day of the week, and was warned by my seven city council bosses that I should probably think about taking a bit of time off. So those issues are front and center and square in my mind, but I luckily spent the weekend with my wife up the Elwha River and the Olympics and got some R&R and feel properly inspired by our region. And I'd love to know, maybe not on the air, but I met my wife in the North Cascades, Tim, and it's like one of my favorite places in the world. So I'm glad you got a chance to get away yourself.
Well, that was pure luck, because it is not a heavily visited park. So pure luck on your part, Mr. Morrow.
Oh, pure luck on my part.
Yes.
Yeah. It was. She was working in the park, and I was a unusual visitor to the park. And so, yeah, very much luck.
Nice.
But lovely part of the world. And it's nice that you can kind of see it from here. You could actually see some of those high peaks like El Dorado on a clear day if you get the right vantage point here in town.
Well, you, as really an outdoorsman, you know that area much better than I do. I have to say it was warm up there, and I was kind of glad to be back, simply because I gotten a little thick-blooded from my time in Port Townsend. But you just mentioned what I think should be the next leader headline next Tuesday, and that is Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow is human.
Yeah. Well, I think every day people understand that in the kind of negative sense, because, you know, just like everybody, I've got my blind spots. But, you know, also trying to learn and you know, one of the things just thinking about this most immediate this morning, I am just thrilled to be able to take, I had four or five meetings before this conversation this morning. Only one of them was on the phone. I actually, believe it or not, was able to meet in person with people mostly outside. But I have to say, I'm a little bit charged up being fully vaccinated. And clearly there's just to be clear, there's still a regional public health, directive from Dr. Locke with masking indoors. But I'm starting to feel like, hey, we can do that thing we do as humans and actually connect with our fellow humans, not on a screen. And it just feels good.
Oh, tell me about it. I've been predicting this for a while, and it came true last Thursday that the unexpected brass band was at the Pope Marine Plaza. And to me, that is the harbinger of that. Yes, of course, as we say, we're not out of this, but hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, there really is. I mean, one of the people I was just talking to, the lovely PT Main Street, was just here in my office, and we were talking about things. And I don't want to blow their cover, because I think it's still a question mark where they're bored and decisions they need to make. But, you know, some of the things that they were signaling were, what are we doing with concerts on the dock, and what are we thinking about this year? And it's just even exciting that we're thinking about bringing back some of the things that people just dearly love that make Port Townsend the place it is. And light is at the end of the tunnel. So That makes me happy. And I did try to coerce one of my coffee meetings today was with Chief Brett Black from East Jefferson for our monthly catch up. And I said, you know, Chief, you got to join me on Bureaucracy Now to introduce yourself to the listening community of Port Townsend, of which he and his team serves. And so I'm really thrilled to have that kind of leadership in East Jefferson. And we're off on a great foot, I think, working very, very well together with Chief Black and his team.
Make that work, Mr. Morrow.
Let's make it happen sometime this month, Tim, I think.
Yeah, no, that would be fun. It's always fun when you have a guest, and they're always interesting, and it's so interesting to hear from their perspective. And I don't, Peter, that we had last week, I think it was the last week or the week before, with Tyler, 24 years, and I'm like, when did he start? Was he 11 years old when he started in Port Townsend? I didn't say that on the air, so I just have to say it now. That's just the way it is.
I was equally surprised. You know, Tyler is a seasoned professional with, you know, a nearly a quarter century of service to the city, but you know, he takes care of himself. He looks like young and vibrant and, you know, good, clean living. So,
I guess that's it.
Good to have talent that looks young and has a lot of experience.
Okay. Well, what has risen to the top for you in this past week? You know, it never ends. What has risen to the top?
Well, you know, I guess a couple things. You know, one is that it's been fun to sort of see things changing around us quite quickly. Like I mentioned, with being able to actually be in person with people. You know, we're gearing up for maybe it's not this week, but for next week. No, it's not the event of the week for people, but we have a city council meeting on Monday, and you know, we're covering a lot of stuff on Monday. It's pretty clear, it's not on the agenda now, but in talking with Congressman Kilmer's staff yesterday, and he had a chat with Mayor Sandoval yesterday, he's going to be joining us most likely for just a briefing from, you know, what's happening at the level that he's sitting in Congress, you know, to the constituents he serves, including us. And, you know, I have really nothing but good things to say about him and his team and the way that they're, you know, representing us in D.C. So, you know, that'll probably kick off the meeting. So if that's a reason to come listen in, please do. We also have some, you know, it's Pride Month. So that's on my mind. We just raised the flag here at City Hall. We'll have a proclamation for Pride. You know, the Pride group that was formerly Jefferson County Pride, I believe is Olympic Pride now, changed their name, changed leadership. Had a great meeting with them last month and the month before. You know, that'll be a fun way to start off the meeting. And then, gosh, we go through tons of stuff. I mean, everything from stormwater to smoking and vaping in parks, to how we're realigning or intending to realign advisory boards and committees, to donations that are expected from Port Townsend Library Foundation, mm-hmm. You know, to thinking about financial sustainability, which is a big priority for us this year, to streeteries and parklets. You know, there's just a ton of stuff on the agenda on Monday that, you know, it's like I say, you know, we're going to try to make city council meetings even more fun so more people listen and participate. But, you know, they really do affect things that that affect all of us. You know, those decisions actually make an impact in our lives.
Well,
so check out the agenda.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's a good time to I think our binge watching phase has come to a well-deserved conclusion. So tune in to the city council meeting. Yeah. That's where it's at, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. So and the other thing too, Tim, I said this last week, but I think it's worth mentioning again. You know, there's a lot that the city does for services that you depend on, and we'll continue to try to up our game and listen better. And, you know, we could always be learning, and that's the kind of organization that we are, and I want us to increasingly be. But we also need your help. And I put out a call, I think, last week for the people who want to put their hand up and actually put some of their volunteer time into either serving as a PDA board member, as a transitional board member for a year or two, for a salary commission to be appointed as a member of the salary commission to do that work. And then After Monday, most likely, if council approves and moves forward with a financial sustainability task force, that's another opportunity for people to jump in with expertise and interest in a time-bound way to serve the city and some things that are really critically important for us. So a number of opportunities. And if you're opening up your newsletter from the city, you'll see a message from Mayor Sandoval asking and for those very things and actually providing links for applications.
And those two, just at the top of my mind, the Salary Commission, the PDA, typically, is it difficult to find folks to do these,
to be on these committees?
We'll see.
I think this community is unusually high in talent and sort of resource and capability. So I'm optimistic that we'll find some great people. But we'll see. You know, we want as many people that are interested to apply, and you know, they're both explicit time-bound pieces of work. You know, the PDA, I think, not out of the woods there yet, but I think there's some progress being made, and I think these new board members will really take the reins and at a very critical time to, I think, direct the fort to be, you know, not just back to what we expect it to be, but to, you know, the next step of what it could be for the community. And then the Salary Commission, you know, that the commission might decide that council gets plenty of compensation for the work that they do, and maybe too much, and they could actually crank that down or they can crank it up. But I think it's a critical conversation to have around how we lower the barrier to entry to elected representatives, so that if you normally would serve, but you just can't find time in your job, or, you know, it's just not something that you're, there's a barrier for you and you're not of a typical demographic. We want to reduce those barriers because we want the council to represent the community and the full community.
Well, good. I'm glad you put that out there because those are critical. I'm not I actually live outside the city limits. And so, but it is critical to have these, that kind of participation.
Tim, you could apply to be a PDA board member because there's no city residency requirement. How's that?
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. And then I'll be one of those bronze statues out on the
exactly.
parade ground, right?
Exactly.
Love it. Love it. Hey, great
idea. We've already cast it for you, Tim.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That made me laugh a little bit there, John, but it's actually absolutely true. And that we do need folks that have I was out at the fort the other day, and I actually was surprised at how good it looks given the challenges that have been out there. It's still a treasure in this town.
It's a treasure. And look, there's progress being made on some of the, the needed, maintenance and capital investment. From what I'm hearing, the bookings are kind of through the roof for this next half of the year. And, you know, I was just talking to PT Main Street's executive director, Mari Mullen, and also one of the former board chairs, who's a particular restaurateur in town. And they're just seeing a fantastic set of weeks here. In fact, the constraint seems to be, at least in the restaurant industry, and I'd say the same thing in city government to some degree, the constraint is actually attracting talent that can afford to live here. And ours are reflecting an inability to fully staff up. But at least some restaurants and some retail in town seem to be doing quite well. And that's a very welcome development after a year of pain.
Well, John Morrow, and if you're just joining us, this is Port Townsend City Manager John Morrow. Since you cracked that door, I am going to walk right through it.
Okay.
It is the issue of not having that affordable housing. There was a interesting article in the Leader regarding Manresa Castle. And, you know, what comes to my mind is I'm pretty certain this is way still in the oven, and it's maybe still preheating to a certain extent. It's one of those out of the blue kind of things that come out. And this was a proposal to convert Manresa Castle to some type, and I do believe it was like public sector, kind of transitional, that's a loaded word, but some type of housing. And again, I know that this is very early. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my quick thoughts are, to some degree, we all need to be rowing in the same direction. But I think it's fair to say that if you're an advocate for transitional housing, for emergency housing, for workforce housing, for market rate housing? The answer just simply is yes, you know, and I think because we're having a hard time retaining executive level talent that it's on the high end of the pay scale or attracting it. We're having a hard time with folks who have no place to live, who are homeless. We're having a hard time with folks who, you know, have a steady income, but, you know, frankly, the cost of living and the rent is just too high, so that, you know, it needs to be some affordability built in there. And so, you know, those are all separate but very related problems. And I think result in a need to think about this from, you know, the spectrum of housing needs. So, you know, so one thought is yes, any and all ideas welcome. You know, I think the quote is a great quote, and I really love the spirit of Commissioner Greg Brotherton and applaud the work that he and the county's been putting forward in this work, really alongside the city, to think about how we as agencies work together better, how we work with providers. And of course, they, like I said last time, they step up in a big way to fill a huge need. And I guess I just love the courage to put out ideas that are not fully formed. You know, I'm one to speak frankly on this show. And I think that's what the public really expects and deserves from me. But I'm also a little bit, you know, there's the rumor mill and maybe there's the optics of, you know, converting a castle into housing or I don't know. There are probably lots of opinions about it in town. But I think to have confidence that we can have a dialogue about what's right and to work together, I think is great. But there's a lot of things on the table. You know, I mean, the city's been actively pursuing and working with, you know, a developer for multifamily home development, you know, in the Rainier area, which we've talked about before. You know, we've been playing some degree of a role of what next for the fairgrounds and, you know, how that's going to land, because that's temporary and needs to be. I was just out on Friday with the Community Build Project, you know, and I sat with them and the unpaid volunteer, you know, 20 something people around a circle. We spent a couple hours actually talking about their project, about the challenges, about the people they serve, and really about the successes they've had building, again, non-code compliant, but temporary emergency housing that actually is pretty high quality, I have to say. You know, in thinking about where to put, like the South 7 project, where to put such housing in the city that's to code, that requires wraparound services and a sponsor agency. And I'd like to believe that we're making some progress there. And what that does, I think, is it both calls the those who have been putting their own efforts in this in a real meaningful way, and those who support the effort, it shines some light on what we can accomplish. At the same time, you know, there's probably trepidation and fear from those who say, hold on a second, not, you know, essentially not in my backyard. And I think as a community, we're going to struggle to say, right, this isn't a problem we push out of the city and wipe our hands clean of. There are members in our community who we all know and love who have been homeless or are homeless. There are people who work for me or who I work for at city council who have been homeless, you know? So, you know, this is a problem that requires our attention and requires all of our attention. So I was really enthused to see the Community Build Project really take matters into their own hands. I was a little nervous about where it was gonna end up because the city has to permit it, but we're working through that process right now.
Well, you're in such a key position because, you know, I mean, these issues are not where a sewer pipe is going to go. These are issues that require so much thought and really introspection on a whole different level than what often we're faced with. And I do love the city for having the courage to come up with ideas that are sometimes way out there and sometimes they make perfect sense, and having that, drawing that fine line between the two, it's not an easy job. But the fact is that this community tends to work on things and try and make it work.
Yeah, I had a conversation with somebody, and I won't disclose who, everyone will probably know if I say, but I think, you know, reflecting on the change of community sentiment and maybe either over time or depending on where the location of a said project or idea or initiative is. Here's my invitation to the community. I mean, we're all, like we started, we're all human. We all have some degree of self-interest and want to protect our own interest. And I'd like to believe we all have some degree of community-mindedness. And you know, there's different balances for different people, and that's fine. But what I think strikes me is, and what I want us to have an honest conversation about as a community is, you kind of can't be both an advocate for equity and affordable housing, as well as an opponent to it at the same time. And this person I was talking to was helping me understand the history of how those who both are now at our heels, rightfully so, saying, what's the city doing in partnership with others to advance this really important issue, sometimes tend to be the people who were blocking those efforts maybe 10 or 20 years ago. Let's just be honest, we all change our perspective and our opinions, but I feel like some degree of, honesty is important about, pick what you're for. And then, when it gets difficult, like, kind of hold on to those beliefs, and the kind of abrupt shift into NIMBYism is a little bit rough to take sometimes, because if we are committed to housing the unhoused and to making progress in equity and, dealing with things like climate change, it's going to require some difficult decisions as a community, and not everyone's going to win from those decisions. Collectively, we will, I'm convinced, but I feel like the city plays a main role of setting the table for those conversations in a way that is civil, respectful, and productive. And those who choose to pull up a chair need to kind of engage in that way.
Well said, and really very true. I think on myself, I mean, I was able to get a house when there was halfway affordable. But the first time I came to Port Townsend, I stayed at the Olympic Youth Hostel out at Fort Worden. If it had not been for the youth hostel, I would have never made it into Port Townsend and ultimately ended up here. Housing, roof over your head is important, even though I got there after they closed and had to spend the night on the beach. But that's, regardless, it is important. And we do have to, again, look inside ourselves on a lot of these issues. We have 5 minutes, John Morrow. I don't know how to use this. I'm thinking, you've been around. You were in the Peace Corps, right? Am I right about that?
I was, yeah.
Yes, you're in the Peace Corps. I know a little bit about your bio, not nearly as much as you do. I know about your time in New Zealand. In Vermont, you've been around. You landed in Port Townsend. If you had a wish, without the normal constraints that we know everybody in your position faces, if you had a wish for Port Townsend, what would that be?
An unconstrained wish.
An unconstrained wish.
Given, holy cow.
You've been around. You've seen a lot of different cultures. Yeah. You've seen a lot of different cities. Yeah. That may be putting you on the spot a little bit.
Oh, that's fine. That's what I'm here for. You're meant to do that. So look, I guess I'm very, very lucky and very, very privileged. And I've been able to, spend some time living in South America. I've lived for a spate in Africa and New Zealand and also in Asia and done a bunch of traveling, but also service work and just picked up as much as I could, try to be a sponge, understand how other people think, how other cultures work, ideas that work well elsewhere. And certainly don't pretend to have all the answers, but I do try to carry around multiple perspectives. I think, I go back to something that I learned from when I was chief sustainability officer in Auckland, New Zealand. I met with my counterpart in Stockholm, Sweden. And when I was asking him about how the city's sort of fundamental comprehensive plan stuff works, he sort of pulled out the classic sustainability, environment, society and economy and people, planet, prosperity, whatever, however you want to cut it, and said, there's a critical component here about a sustainable democracy. And I think if I had one wish, for what I would wish for this place is I'd wish for that table I was just talking about, a civil place for everybody to gather and to share, because we've got tremendous amounts of collective intelligence and goodwill here, a way for us to all plug in and kind of pull the same general direction and to foster, maybe in the face of changes nationally or even statewide or wherever, a really strong local democracy. That's primarily why I took this job, because when I was overwhelmed by the community's engagement, people's levels of intelligence and sophistication and excitement, and you know, it's a unique place. And I think to be able to have the privilege and honor to be in a position like mine to help steward that conversation at the municipal level, to me, Port Townsend can be an exemplar for everywhere. You know, if we find a way that everybody plays a role, has a purpose, and can plug in and make progress together, I really think that that's possible in a place like this. And that's what I'd wish. And actually, that's what I'm working for.
And you're an optimist, and so am I. And I do hope that we see that in our lifetimes. You have a little, yeah, a lot more time actually to accomplish that than I do. So the best of luck on that, Mr. Morrow.
Well, join us, Tim, and thank you for your contribution. Yeah. Just having a conversation like this publicly to engage, you know, and to tell people, look, the city wants to know what you think. I mean, don't love people shouting and yelling, but definitely want to know diverse opinions and perspectives. And you know, it takes a village. We're not going to solve all the problems, and nor should we expect the community to by themselves. So we just need to work together. And you'll see that on Monday. We're trying to realign our council committees and advisory boards a tiny bit, just to find some efficiency and to all be on the same page. So I invite every community member to join us in that effort.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, that invitation to become involved in this city and have your own utopian vision of what Port Townsend can be. We all have that, don't we? Until next week, John Morrow, next week, it's all about my grandiose plans for a cat park. That's what we're
doing.
I'm not serious, man. Don't take it easy. Until next week.
I'll see you next week, Tim, and I might bring a guest in the next week or two who knows a lot about fire and rescue.
Okay. Thank you, John.
All right. Bye. Take care.